Supervisors, please take your seats. All right, I will call the meeting to order, and we'll do the roll call. If you're here, please check in on the computer. Okay, we have 27 members present. That is a quorum. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first up, just a reminder that your mileage statements, anybody who is claiming mileage for 2007, the clerk's office needs that by the end of January, so if you're still working on those, try to get those in within the next few days. Next, county administrator's evaluations are due. I know that a number of people handed them in tonight. If you brought them with you and haven't turned it in yet, just drop them off with Marion. And if you need one, you want to work on it yet tonight, they're sitting right up here. Come on up and get one. Under chair's report, all that we have are board member conference reports. Anybody have anything that you've been to that the board needs to know about? Mr. Bina.
I wasn't at a meeting. We did a couple of telephone conference calls, but the RC&D put in for a request for conservation money and alternative fuel monies for the federal budget under Senator Cole and Ron Kind, and we ended up getting $618,000, which we can use in the Driftless area. So I think that's a plus, and we can start working with alternative fuels and conservation.
Good. Anybody else? All righty, that gets us to administrator report.
Just a couple of quick things. I didn't list them separately, but just as follow-up, Jim Burns had asked for some information on comparison of the women's jail finances to the women's community-based facility, so I included that on your desk. Also, a separate handout as help for the later item on the Lakeview situation. We included some details on the Lakeview census. Finally, you may know or have read that there's some discussion about Granicus and web streaming. We're going to be doing a report to the executive committee and talking about what direction and choices there. So don't worry about that, but we will bring that up to the executive committee and get direction. And your policy planning meeting in February will be a Kerry Group progress report, as well as keeping you up to date on where we're at with the law enforcement center and those kinds of issues. So it'll be a working session, again, not for decision making, but just to keep you up to date on the work of the law enforcement center committee.
Questions for Steve? Mr. Geary.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Yes.
You're good at that. On the comparison of the costs, are we going to discuss that in law enforcement or some committee or did Jim just want it for informational or what is this?
I think it was just informational. He was curious about that, and it again, it continues to illustrate how expensive it is to operate a jail with so few people. And
right, that's why we are going to put an addition on, and we're going to get them all together. I'd like to see the cost comparison after it opens.
This was trying to compare the women's jail to the women's community-based facility.
Right. But when the women's jail is combined with the men's jail, the costs dramatically go down.
Right. He was trying to deal with, he felt he didn't get enough information on the decision you've made to go ahead with the women's based facility compared to operating the separate women's jail.
Right, right.
Wait, I think I know what your question is, Mr.
Right,
Gary.
After it
what
opens.
You're saying is once it's open, would it make sense financially to terminate that program and
well,
just
I'm
use
not
the
saying
jail?
That. I just wanted to
or at least compare
cost.
Them.
Yeah, right.
I understand what your question
my,
is.
My question would be like, okay, after we get it opened, right. If the women's jail in the new facility had an influx, let's say the judges sentenced 15 more people to jail instead of to this place, do we hire 11 more jailers or do we hire no more jailers?
No, again, under the plan that we've right. talked about, the jailers from the women's jail will go over to the main men's jail.
That's my point. Right. The cost will dramatically change once they're all combined in the same building. An influx of men or women prisoners isn't going to mean an influx of more staff then, right?
Only the ones that you already have.
Right.
Right.
I think that's what Burns' question was. I don't know. He's not here, so he can pursue it later. But my point is once they're together, the consolidation is what's going to save us money over there because we're not going to have two separate staffing issues.
Right, and that's already in the budget. The issue was that we had never separated the women's jail expenses from the jail budget because they rotate through.
Any other questions for Steve? Tara Johnson.
Are we also discussing the initial codified version of the comprehensive plan at the February board meeting, or policy planning meeting?
What did you already have on there?
Just carry group progress report and the law enforcement center building. The health insurance can't be scheduled till March, and the natural step would also be in March if we can arrange a speaker and presentation.
Okay, let's start with comp plan stuff then.
You got it.
I think that would be good. All righty. Before we get on to Corp Council report, I forgot to mention this. We ask you this every year. Right now, many of you get the Wisconsin Counties Association magazine. I'm not sure how many of you read it or if you would find that you need to get it. If you don't need it, it saves us $20 a year. If you want to stop up at the chair's office or Steve's office, you know, we've got a copy up there. I'm going to pass this around and ask people to check whether you want the Counties Association magazine or if you're willing to skip it and share with somebody else. Lyle, can I get you to start it? All right, Corp Council report, Bill. Thanks, Lyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the December meeting, I was asked whether the passage of Steve O'Malley's contract violated our county code. In Section 102, it states that the term of office for the county administrator is 2 years. In analyzing this question, I think we first have to start out with the state statutes I've cited in my memorandum that's on, it should be on all of your desks, many of the statutory provisions that I've reviewed and cited. I just touch on a few of them. 5902 is really one of the more important statutes. Chapter 59, if you recall, or if you haven't looked at the statutes, it really that contains many of the state statutes regarding county government. You'll find a lot of information in there. It's quite a complex section. But 5902 really talks about how the county board exercises its powers. And there are two ways, by ordinance or by resolution. And the state statute doesn't give priority one over the other. They're both means of documenting the exercise of your powers as a county board and representing the interests of the county. The other set of statutes that you should be aware of is the county home administrative authority, and that's expressed in a number of statutes which I've cited, 5903, 5904, 5951, all have parts or really some of them repeat the thought behind home rule. And basically this these statutes give the counties a lot of self-control over the affairs of the county. And in looking at cases and statutes, and also attorney general's opinions, the way that those statutes on county home rule are interpreted is that that matters that are of statewide concern and addressed in the statutes are and specifically stated in statutes cannot be altered by a county board. Matters that aren't referred to in the statute are matters of local concern, which the county board has control over. And 5904 talks about give the counties the largest measure of self-government under the administrative home rule authority. So that's quite extensive. In taking a look at this term issue, I just bring to your attention a couple of state statutes where terms are definitely stated, and one you're certainly familiar with, and you're all, as you all well know, you served terms of office of 2 years, and that's stated in 5910. So that is a state statute. That is something that the county board could not alter. And the same would be true with other county officers, county clerk, treasurer, clerk of circuit court, register of deeds. All of those officers have stated terms of office in the statutes in 5920. Those are 2 years. Sheriff has a term of 4 years. But in the case of the county administrator, and I cite to you some of the provisions of 5918, which is the statute that addresses the county board's authority over the county administrator and the duties and powers of the county administrator. Certainly, you're aware that the county board appoints the county administrator, Mr. O'Malley was duly appointed when he first came to La Crosse County a number of years ago. The other sections of 5918 that you should be familiar with are subsection 4 that talks about compensation and subsection 7 that talks about removal. In 4, it just says that the county board shall fix the compensation of the county administrator. In 7, it talks about the removal of the county administrator if the conduct of the county administration becomes unsatisfactory. So those are matters of statewide concern that are definitely stated in the statutes. In other words, the county board must appoint, the county board must set the compensation, and the county board has the authority to remove a county administrator for unsatisfactory conduct. But nowhere in that statute, unlike the statute that fixes the term for supervisors or fixes the term for the county clerk or the register of deeds, there is no place in 5918 that refers to the term. So what effect does that have then on reviewing the authority of this county board? And really what it means is that setting the term of the county administrator is a matter of local concern that this county board has authority over. And you can, as I indicated at the beginning, you can set the terms by resolution or by ordinance. In this case, I can recall, as all of you can, I'm sure, the discussion about retaining Mr. O'Malley's services, and there was a lot of discussion about the job that he's done and how everybody is extremely satisfied with that. And as a part of the negotiations in this contract to retain his services for 4 years, it was recommended to you by several committees that that contract be approved, in which it granted a 4-year term of office. But I would like to point out that even though it says 4 years, it still is at the pleasure and will of the county board. This board, if you deem his conduct to be unsatisfactory, you can terminate that his office and or his position and move on to appoint a successor. So really the term is sort of a misnomer in this situation, because the term is really at the will and at the pleasure of this county board based on his performance and your determination of that performance. So my conclusion is that you were legally capable and entitled to approve that contract by resolution. And I would point out that the resolution doesn't change the ordinance. If Mr. O'Malley is terminated, or retires, and you go to a successor, the term of office is 2 years, unless you change the term for that person. You could change it by changing the ordinance. You could change it by agreeing to another contract that could be for some specified term or no specified term, just leaving it at the will of the county board. And I think that's the important part from the statutes, that the statute requires the county board to have the authority to remove if they determine that the performance is unsatisfactory. That same standard is preserved in this contract. And for that reason, and the others I've cited in terms of the county having the authority to do this, the action of this board was legal. It is a valid and enforceable contract, in my opinion.
Mr. Ebert.
Yes, I request that this be put on the next month's agenda for the discussion item, since we didn't get this early enough so I could get competent consultation with appropriate individuals.
Mr. Montgomery.
Just a question that I have, Mr. Shepherd, is in the term of this contract, what if the public decided that they wanted a different form of government, decided that maybe a county executive would be more appropriate than a county administrator? Is the county under any obligation in terms of fulfilling that contract in the event that something like that occurred? Would there be any financial obligation that the county would have in honoring the full length of the contract in the event that there was a change in the governance?
Certainly the severance provision would apply. As long as the county administrator is willing and able to continue serving, if you terminate his contract, he would be entitled to the severance provisions that are contained in it.
Mr. Gillette.
Any,
Mr. Belzer.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. When you cut through all the statutory authority, which gives us very broad powers,
right?
We look at the ordinance. 1.02 says county administrator is appointed by us for 2 years. What you're basically saying is that means nothing.
Well, the county, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the county board has the authority to change ordinances, has authority to pass resolutions.
Okay, so our resolution, essentially then, because it shows a more current desire, supersedes this ordinance. Because the ability to let the county administrator go is true whether this term is on this paper or not. We could do that whether this is here or not.
Right.
We could do it in a week if we wanted to.
Good.
Right? So what this says is that it's 2 years unless we show that what you're saying is that it's 2 years unless we don't want it to be 2 years, in which case then we can make it get any length we want. If we wanted to, we could make it 1 year. You're saying also, too, right?
Well, you know, I guess we always have to follow the statute that is a specific enactment by the legislature.
Sure.
That is of statewide concern.
But that's not controlling in this situation because there isn't one.
Well, there is in terms of that it doesn't provide for a term. What it does provide is basically that the county board can terminate the county administrator for unsatisfactory
right.
performance, and that provision that's reflected in the statute is also reflected in this contract. So mm-hmm. we are consistent with the state statute, and that's the most important thing.
I understand that. What I'm getting at, and I don't say that I disagree with you. I think that this is probably right, but I mean really this doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot what the ordinance says, because even if we appointed him for 2 years. We could let him go any time before that. Right. If we wanted to just say, you know what, even though our ordinance says 2 years, this year we're going to vote to only appoint him for 1 year. And because we had a resolution that occurred after this, that would be our most present sort of or most current desire of the board, that would supersede what's in this ordinance. Is that
right.
true?
Correct.
No. Okay.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Menninger.
Yeah, just changing the subject, if I can. Are you done with that one?
Well, it depends upon how far you want to change the subject.
Oh, I just wanted to go back to that women's community-based thing that we talked
okay,
about.
Okay, well, hold off a second. Let's just see if there's anything more on the Corp Council report. Anybody have any other? Mr. Geary.
Are we going to rewrite the ordinance to make it consistent with the contract now, or what do you propose?
No, Mr. Shepherd is saying that it's not inconsistent. And let me take a shot at it, see if I can try from... And
well,
you know,
I have one other point.
Okay, and I'll come back to you, but let me explain, because I just read this too tonight, and I just got it tonight like everybody else did. And the way I would interpret it is that the ordinance provides for two-year terms to the extent that we want a person to fill out the two-year terms, but we are an employment-at-will state, as Mr. Shepherd has said on a number of occasions, and we can let somebody go even if it's short of their term. What we have done in this particular situation is we've done with some other folks that we've had on contract. I think years ago we used to have the Family Court Commissioner on contract, for example, is we can write in a thing that further refines what the statute says to make it shorter or longer. I think it could also be interpreted that essentially our contract with Mr. O'Malley provides for two-year terms, if you want to look at it that way, because if we wanted to let him go at the two-year mark, we could, just like we could let him go at the two-day mark. And so it's not inconsistent in the sense that it guarantees him a double term. It simply says, if he's here for 4 years, here's what he gets paid. But it also in there says, if we don't want him at any point, we have to pay him a little bit of money, and then he's gone. Okay, and so in that sense, I don't, you know, and I haven't had a chance to absorb all of what Bill's got in here, but I don't disagree with his interpretation because I don't see that they're conflicting because of the fact that we have a provision in that contract that says, if we don't like you, you're gone. So we haven't given him something more than what the ordinance says with regard to a two-year term. Bill, do you disagree with my analysis there?
I think that's correct.
Okay. Ralph, you had some more stuff.
Well, then why did we make it a four-year in the first place? My point is, would a contract supersede an ordinance? My thing was, I thought with all these references to statute, I thought you were going to say something like a signed contract would supersede the ordinance.
It's the resolution, Mr. Geary.
No, no, but didn't Steve sign a contract with us?
That's correct.
Would the contract supersede the ordinance?
The resolution approving this contract is controlling. That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The contract supersedes the ordinance.
No. I'm saying that the resolution
They're
that
not
approves
in conflict.
The contract, I don't disagree with Mr. Doyle's analysis that there isn't a conflict because we are consistent with state statute.
Other questions or comments on this one? Okay, Mr. Ebert has asked that we bring this back again next month. We will do that. Mr. Menninger, you wanted to talk about earlier topic.
Yeah, I'm not trying to prolong it, but I had just two quick questions. This $250,000 purchase for a residential facility, that will be a county, then the county will own that facility?
That's how it's budgeted. We still have not developed a recommendation for you, so that may not be the case. We may end up leasing. There are a number of options that we're looking at, but that's how we budgeted. That still needs independent decision-making by this body of how to handle
it. Okay, so we haven't crossed that bridge yet.
We haven't gotten there.
Okay.
Right.
And then I just was struck by the client fees on the bottom. I'm not sure what client fees are. If on the top it's prisoner board, confinement fee. Those fees that we collect from clients, I guess we call them now, they will go to the county or they will go to the Y?
No. Injustice sanctions, when someone's placed on electronic monitoring and all the other programs, there are fees that are charged to those folks. We didn't go to the trouble to break it down for the number of clients here because currently they're also being served by other programs. So we could have spent a whole lot of time saying 10 women, this many fees, and made it look even better, but we didn't go to that
the
trouble.
The fees, whatever fees they are, will stay with the county, not
are,
go
are within the justice sanctions
not
budget.
Go to the, we'll, right. go, we'll stay with justice sanctions.
Right.
Okay. That's all.
Mr. Geary, did you have your hand up?
Yeah. As long as he's on that, does the Cross, or for $250,000, we're not going to get this big of a house or apartment building or whatever they're going to buy. I don't know. Do they have something about how many unrelated people could live in the same facility? Is there, does La Crosse or cities have that kind of...
Anything that we do has to abide by all zoning requirements and everything, and that's part of what we're exploring.
Does anybody know what that limit is, or...
In La Crosse, it might be four or five unrelated, but then you would have to get a special permit, which is what the group homes and so forth do. So, I mean, we would have to, as Mr. O'Malley says, we'd have to go through that process if it's within the city limits. Other questions, comments? Okay, I think that gets us past communications and announcements. We're on to appointments. Mr. Hammes, can you take the chair, please?
Mr. Doyle.
Thank you, sir. I have three appointments, all to the Mississippi Valley Health Services, Inc., Board of Directors. That is our Lakeview Consortium, for those of you who don't recognize this particular term. And we have the three people, Sharon Hampson, Roger Plesha, and Tara Johnson, all being appointed to terms expiring December 31st, 2010. I'd ask for approval of that.
Seconded by Mr. Kopanky. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously.
Thank you. Next, we have the consent agenda. Move for approval by Mr. Plesha, seconded by Mr. Sobranek. Any discussion on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to planning, resource, and development. Mr. Hammes.
First one's conditional use permit filed by Clifton Wolf. In the town of Hamilton, the committee voted unanimously, six in favor of denial, one excused. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee's report.
Mr. Hammes moves the committee report. Seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion or questions on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next one is petition 1766 filed by Michael Josted. Rezoned from traditional ag to Agricultural District A. The committee voted 6 in favor, 1 excused for this petition. Mr. Chairman, I have one correction on here. In the legal description, in the first line, the first where it says NW, it should be NE. So that'll be has to be changed. I move the committee's report.
Mr. Hammes moves the committee report, seconded by Leon Paff. Mr. Hammes moves what I'll call a friendly amendment, but let's do a formal vote on it so there's no issue there, to change that legal description, seconded by Leon Paff. All in favor of that corrective amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Any discussion or questions on the motion itself? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
The next one is petition 1767, Kelly Johnson, to rezone from industrial to agriculture district A. The committee voted to approve with 5 in favor, 1 opposed. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee's report.
Mr. Chambers moves the committee report, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Is there any discussion or questions on this one? Jill Billings.
I was unsure about the department recommendation. I wonder if I could speak to someone from the department.
Certainly. Jeff Blesky will come forward. And, Jeff, it looks like the microphone's already on there.
Thank you. We were talking in the other room, so you'll have to repeat your question. I'm sorry.
I'm wondering about the department recommendation. It looked like there wasn't really a recommendation, just a list of 4 options. So you had no recommendation?
Yeah.
Sorry to make it so difficult.
No, it really
isn't. What
do
you want his answer to be?
Huh? Yeah, no. This parcel has been subject to quite a few citations, if the county board remembers this over time. And it was a relative that we were dealing with over time. So Kelly Johnson actually owned the property and was subject to getting the citations. And since we can't make any deals or anything with people, we had requested because there was a mobile home that was left on the property, that the mobile home cannot exist on land that's zoned industrial. So we'd given him a recommendation in order to solve that. If he wanted to keep the mobile home on the parcel, he would have to rezone it to Agricultural District A. Well, he said, if I'm going to go through that process, I want to get something out of it. I want to get two parcels. So he had the property surveyed, and he's got an easement running to one of the parcels and not the other one. So in our recommendation, we were trying to give the committee the options that were available based on what we'd seen on the property. And it came out during the meeting that he'd taken the mobile home off the property already, unknowing to us. But he had a couple of side-by-side manufactured homes that he'd gotten somehow from the home and school district that were sitting out on a piece out in front that he wanted to put on these two parcels. So in order to get those two parcels off the front of the lawn, so to speak, and in the back, we kind of left it up to the committee to create one parcel or two parcels. We'd gone along with two as far as staff goes, but maybe that just didn't come out that way. So we recommended whatever was being proposed, with the conditions that it cannot be further subdivided, because in that new Agricultural District A, you could have half-acre lots on the parcel, but there's no town road access to it.
Okay. And I think George Hamas has some more to add to his explanation.
As Jeff said, the easement goes to one of the parcels, so he can develop one of the parcels, mm-hmm. but he's going to have to come back and create access to the other one. So it's a long, complicated.
Yeah. So it wasn't an easy one to really respond to until we heard the testimony of the owner of the property.
Okay, and my second question was, mm-hmm. this name did ring a bell with me, and wasn't this a junkyard in the past, and we were worried about fluids leaking out of vehicles on the property? So I assume there'll have to be wells out there or a well, and is it a healthy place for people to live?
Well, we had indicated that that's a possibility. All the cars, trucks, everything are gone out there right now. Nobody's done any soil tests to indicate that that there is any contamination. We'd indicated to the prospective buyer that was going to buy the 20 acres that if there was any contamination, that he would be responsible for the cleanup. Now, he could definitely go back to the previous owner if he wanted to recover some expenses for that, and he said he was very aware of that already, so we did make that known.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
The next one is for termination of conditional use permit 559, filed by Chad Vanden Langenberger. This is a conditional use permit that was issued to James Paling, and have dog kennels, etc., out there, and it's no longer being used. And the committee's recommendation is for terminating. I move the committee's report.
Mr. Hamas moves the committee report, which is to terminate. Seconded by Mr. Bina. Any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
We have three more coming up here for termination, and then I believe Chad said there's seven on the agenda for next month. We created Chad's position here this last year, and he's going around and taking a lot of these old ones off the books, so you'll see a lot of them in the next few months. The next one is a termination filed by Chad again for conditional use permit 566 to Robert Mankey. Committee's recommendation is to terminate. I move the committee's report.
Mr. Jamison moves the committee report, which is to terminate. Seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion or questions on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next one is conditional use permit number 650 for termination, filed by Chad. I'm just going to say Chad.
Vanden Langenberg.
Yeah. For Pat Sasha on behalf of Gerald and Robert Sasha. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee's report for termination.
Mr. Hansen, or Hamas moves the committee report, which is to terminate, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next petition is number 730, conditional use permit for termination, filed by Chad Vanden Langenberger.
Close. No ER at the end.
Well, Chad.
But you're getting better.
Filed by Chad. This is an automobile, Hooper's Auto Sales. The parties were there, and Terry requested the permit be withdrawn, and he's filing a new one next month to have just an automotive body shop there and not the sales. So, Mr. Chairman, the committee's report was 5 in favor, 1 abstain, 1 excused. Mr. Chairman, I move the committee's report.
And the committee report was to terminate?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Hanson, or Hammes, try that again. Sorry. Mr. Hammes moves the committee report, which is to terminate, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Next one is petition 1768, filed by Daniel Todride. To rezone from exclusive ag to agricultural district A in the town of Burns. I move the committee's report, which is 6 in favor, 1 excused.
Mr. Hammes moves the committee report, which is to approve. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Gillette. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
That's all.
Thank you, sir. Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, Mr. Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 13-1, approval of intergovernmental contract, charter contract. Whereas La Crosse County and 9 other counties have studied the possibility of creating a nonprofit corporation to be known as Mississippi Valley Health Services Incorporated, hereinafter referred to as the corporation. Whereas the legal authority and goals of the corporation are set forth in the attached intergovernmental charter contract, and whereas in accordance with the provisions of the intergovernmental charter contract, La Crosse County shall contract with the corporation for the purposes of, number one, leasing a portion of Lakeview Healthcare Center and the corporation, and to provide administration, maintenance, and operation of the leased portion of Lakeview Healthcare Center. And whereas the goals of the corporation, as set forth in the intergovernmental charter contract, are in accordance with the philosophy and public policy objectives of La Crosse County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the intergovernmental charter contract and authorizes the County Board Chair to sign such document after approval by Corporation Council. Further, may it be resolved that La Crosse County is authorized to enter into necessary leases, contracts, and other supplemental agreements with the corporation to lease, operate, and maintain a portion of Lakeview Healthcare Center, described as nursing home and facility for the developmentally disabled, and offer other specialized services to the corporation as may be developed. Further, be it resolved, La Crosse County Board Chair authorizes to sign such leases, contracts, and other supplemental agreements with corporation after approval by the Corporation Council. Further, be it resolved that the initial membership fee of $5,000 shall be paid to the corporation from the Human Services Department budget, and the Finance Department is authorized to make any such changes to carry out the intent of this resolution. The fiscal note for this: we have revenue in the amount of $250,000 from the counties, which has been included in the 2008 budget. The initial membership fee of $5,000 shall be paid by the Human Services budget, and as follows: Clinical Services, Mental Health Org, 9212, Inpatient Accounts, number 64046. I move for its approval, and I'd like to speak to it.
Moved by Mr. Plesha, seconded by Margaret Wood to approve. Mr. Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've been talking about collaboration for quite a few years at all of our county board retreats. There have been many times when we've tried to find ways that we can collaborate with different counties and different other governmental entities to save the county money. This is one way that we're going to put this into practice. And we've budgeted lightly for $250,000 at this point, but it has a potential of being $750,000 if all goes well, which will substantially lower our debt and our payments for Lakeview Healthcare Center. I know our committee's worked for years trying to figure out how we could get into this position, and I think one of the main things is our county has been looked at for many years as innovative and coming up with different ideas that I think are going to be beneficial to all of our surrounding entities, or entities meaning counties. 9 other counties have come to the table with us. There's a potential of more there, but with the agreement, I think one of the things that they've found is there's been a trust that's been developed over a long period of time with our county. And this trust is something that we have had to speak to the other county leaders as well as staff to make them comfortable with this position. One of the things that I think is going to really help us in the future is if there are more ways that we can collaborate with other counties, as well as come into other ideas that would allow us to do these same types of things with other counties, it will save the counties, could be potentially millions of dollars. Presently, we have about 150 people in the FDD as well as in the nursing home. And of those 150 people, we have almost 90% of them are court ordered. So it's not something that we can just turn around and say we're not going to accept these people. We have to allow them a place to live. They are a responsibility, and we try to create the most hospitable place for them to be. So with that, I'm hoping that this works out well, and I have no problem thinking that it will. Thank you.
Further discussion? Mr. Schrader.
How many of these other counties have actually committed to do it? The ones that are around here, have they
all of them
committed?
I think we're the last actually to approve the resolution, aren't we?
And also, who is Andrew T. Phillips? Is that a just a corporation, or what is?
If I may.
No, he's Mr. Phillips is the. If you have looked at your Wisconsin Counties magazine, if you get that, he will is the attorney for the Wisconsin Counties Association. He writes articles in there on a monthly basis. Been working with Jerry Huber and all the counties involved in that MCO project. So he's an attorney that we asked to become involved in this, and as a matter of fact, Wisconsin Counties Association felt so highly of our project that they've been paying his legal fees up to this point. So we've really gotten his counsel in working with me in developing the documents really for nothing. And the other point that I just want to mention to you is I don't want to be the attorney for this new corporation because it would be a conflict of interest for me, and so that's why we've suggested that he continue on as the attorney for that corporation, so that I, you know, my allegiance, of course, is to this county, and we wanted to have that separation.
Okay. I'm really glad to see this come to fruition because it's been a long time going.
Congratulations to everybody involved, and thank you to Mr. O'Malley for the leadership on that. Any other discussion? Mr. Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. About how many clients or patients would we have room for out there? And the second part of the question would be, you know, I see Rock County is in here and Chippewa. I would assume that if they have someone to come into our institution, they would transport them at their own expense.
Pam Semmel, answer your question.
Okay, the first question was what is our capacity, correct? We have 142 nursing home beds, and we have 17 beds on our ICFMR.
So they
could all be used. And what was your second question?
If someone from another county, like Rock County, mm-hmm. who's on the list now, mm-hmm. Has a patient, they would transport them here themselves at their expense, not our expense?
Oh, yeah, we do not pick up and deliver, no.
Okay, well, that's what I was wondering because, you know, we get on the hook for too much expenses and then all of a sudden we got some problems, but they would transport,
yes.
The other counties would transport their own patients to us.
And they do that currently when they go for their annual reviews at court, that county transports them.
All right.
Other questions or comments? I would just like to mention earlier this evening you approved three people to serve on the board of directors for this corporation. Actually, next month you will be approving a replacement. Tara Johnson is going to serve for 1 month, and then next month Jim Ursham will take her place. Their first meeting is going to be held on a date when Jim is not available, and so we wanted to have all three of our folks there, so we wanted to have a full complement. So Tara will be on that committee for, or on that corporation board for 1 month, and then next month I'll be appointing Jim to serve out the rest of that term. Other discussion, questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Plesha? Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 14-1 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding pledge of future county financial support of UW La Crosse Stadium Project. Whereas the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse and the community have embarked on a fundraising campaign to raise sufficient funds for replacement of the current UWL stadium, whereas the economic benefit in sales tax generation at the 0.5% county sales tax to La Crosse County is estimated to be approximately $25,000 for maintaining current stadium events, plus the projected new uses as described by the La Crosse County Convention and Visitors Bureau, whereas the 2008 budget includes a contribution of $25,000 designated from the sales tax reserve to support this purpose. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the 2006-2008 La Crosse County Board supports the UW La Crosse Stadium project and encourages future county boards to include $25,000 each year in the annual budget from sales tax revenue through the 2017 budget. Fiscal note is there is no additional impact to the 2008 budget. Each future county board will need to include this contribution within the next 9 budgets to fulfill the county pledge. I would note that it passed unanimously in committee, and I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Jason Gillette. Discussion. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this project was born, UWL was pretty emphatic that no taxpayers' money was going to be used. And now we already kicked in $25,000, and now they want a quarter of a million over the next 10 years. It's like that 0.5% sale tax. Once you open these doors, it's almost impossible to close them again. They're out there shaking the money tree, and I just don't think this is right that they were really emphatic about it. No taxpayers' money is going to be used, and now they're dependent on the taxpayers. I just can't support this. But I am in favor of the stadium. I just think they probably bit off too much than they can chew.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also against this resolution. I would encourage all my fellow supervisors to vote against this resolution. I'm going to stay consistent with my position at the annual meeting in November of last year. I believe, and this is what I said at the annual meeting, I believe the stadium project has value. There's no question it has value to the community, and it adds value to UWL, and I think it's a good project. However, I firmly believe that the economic impact is grossly overstated. I'm not sure. We're getting different numbers. At the annual meeting, we came in at $11,600 for the economic impact, and now it's 25. And I know the board approved $25,000, and I kind of questioned 11.6. And I guess my information is coming from academic economists. I mentioned that at the meeting in November. I think we need to be very careful as a county board. This is not an essential county service. Certainly, there may be some economic impact. But I think we need to be. I think we need to base our commitment to the project on more conservative, realistic numbers. And I'm all in favor of the 11.6. I supported that in November, but I don't think we should be approving this amount. Thank you,
Mr. Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure we all want this project to be successful, but since this past executive. It says right in the resolution, the current county board cannot require future county boards to fulfill the 10-year commitment. The more I look at it, it's kind of like a feel-good resolution that doesn't mean anything. The needs of the county are always going to come first. I can't speculate what the financial requirements of the county are going to be in the next 10 years. And I started thinking back, do you remember when we used to give the airport $200,000 a year? What do we give them now? Gary is about $5,000 or roughly $5,000. We went from $200,000 contribution to $5,000 because we thought the airport was important, it was regional, it was whatever. So I moved to table it.
I'm going to make you hold off on that a minute. There are other people with their hands up, and since tabling is not debatable, I want to have people have a chance
to
discuss this.
That's fine.
I will come back to you, though.
Okay.
I will come back to you. Mr. Gillette, I think, did I see your hand up? Mr. Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like Mr. Burns stated, this is all a very good project and everything like that, but I believe that it belongs more with the city and also with Onalaska and the West Salem, the ones that are really going to reap the benefits, because as far as for representing my area out there in the northern part of the northern and western part of La Crosse County, it's very hard for me to vote for something like this, to put money into this project when there's a lot of needs out there that this money could be used for. So I would not be able to support this. Thank you.
John Manninger.
Well, I guess I'm a little bit surprised. When I was looking at the agenda before I came down here, I thought this one would just pass through in the sense because it is somewhat symbolic. We've already pledged $25,000, and it says, you know, in good faith, they asked us for $250,000, and this gets us to that number, but it certainly leaves it up to every annual budget to have that debate. But I'll tell you, if you vote this down tonight or even table it, the message to the university is going to be horribly negative. And I strongly encourage you not to put this on the table, not to defeat this resolution, but to pass it so we can be with this on the side of the angels and trying to do something very, very good, not just for the city of La Crosse, but for the greater La Crosse area. This isn't just for the university. This is for all those high school kids. I would suspect that there's even Melrose Mindoro kids that run on the track at the state track meet. It's not just city of La Crosse people running on those on that track. And, you know, as a community, as a region, you have choices. And a lot of people don't like change. They don't want anything to do, you know, they don't want to spend any money. They just leave it as it is. But if you are trying to just keep things the way that they are, you are going backwards. You cannot keep things the way they are. This is a desperately needed facility. If you want this area to continue to grow and prosper and to move forward, you simply have to pass this resolution tonight.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The half-cent sales tax was instituted for property tax relief. And if the revenues come in from this project, then let's use those revenues for property tax relief. This isn't a mandated service. And in light of the human services cuts that we're forced to continually make, and in light of the state limits set on us raising our taxes, I can't support the use of taxpayer money for sports. So I can't support this. Thank you.
George Hamas.
I'm not going to repeat what's been said, but I have to concur with what Mr. Menninger said.
Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was listening to the news on television, and I thought one of the head honchos out there said something on television that because they were having trouble raising money, they were going to revise the size or something. I didn't get all the figures, but I heard it that night. I guess, you know, I like to give money to community projects if we can. The problem that I see is that our budget continues to go up. Granted, we haven't changed the mill rate, but our budget has gone up considerably over the last 10 years. We have a lot of things we do in the county that we can't afford to do because we have to stay within that mill rate levy. And I guess if there's one issue that has been surfacing in my area, and I do listen to my constituents pretty much on a daily basis, and I guess it's giving money away and not putting it into your own county government. So I'm really torn as to which way I should go on this one, but I'm probably leaning away from it right now.
Jill Billings.
I'm one of the people who voted against this during our budget hearings for a lot of the reasons that have been expressed tonight. But as I came into this meeting, I had decided to vote for this because I feel like this body made a pledge, and it was in good faith. And I want us to be good for our word. I want this board to say we pledge this, and we're going to come through with it. Now, I think after the next election, it's up for a different matter, but I feel like the board decided this was their will by a majority, and I have to support it.
Don Meyer.
I believe what was on TV was that they were going to phase the project, maybe similar to what we're going to do with the jail. I think went up over $18 million, and they were going to phase it, not do it all at once.
Right. Jason Gillette.
I don't want to reiterate what John said either, but I'm going to support this resolution for the simple fact that I don't think it's giving money away, unfortunately, as Don said. I think it's an investment in our future, an investment in our children's education, and I think it's a good cause.
Mr. Spiker.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'm a liberal tonight because I strongly support this resolution. Mr. Menninger said a lot better than that I could say, but I will tell you one thing. If you vote it down, it might not defeat the project, but it has sent a wrong message. That state track meet will be gone from here. I guarantee it that. Oshkosh is just chalking at the bit to get it. But I would like to touch one issue to make my case on this. Ms. Johnson and I introduced a resolution or a motion to the budget that would have saved La Crosse County $71,000 the first year, $1 million over 10 years. And some of the people that have spoken talked about saving taxpayers' tax levy dollars. They voted the other way on it. I hate to bring that up, but that's a fact. But it's important that we support. Mr. Gao, Chancellor Gao, is a different chancellor than the two previous ones. I were not fans of them, I guarantee you that. But he's shown with phase one, phase two, and what I was really impressed with, phase one was the veterans. What the university did to the veterans years ago, not this chancellorship, was a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. He's took that in consideration now, and that's in phase one. And I support the veterans, and I support the youth that will get so much enjoyment out of that state track meet. I've seen people come to the track meet. I worked it for many years. Seen people come to that track meet. They had no kids there. Just it's a different world. It's something that just is unbelievable for people to come. And to lose that in this area, and I'd rather see it in Holman, tell you the truth. But that's not possible. But
that amendment is out of order, I'm sorry.
I will say, well, Mr. Menninger, like I said it much better than I could, that is really sending a bad message if we even table it or don't approve it. Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support the resolution because of what it says. It simply says that it will encourage future county boards to include that, and it requires that action of county boards to do so. I also would agree, having worked with young people, I think they take a great deal of pride in being able to compete at UWL.
I haven't forgotten you, Mr. Burns, but I'm trying to get the first round of people before I get back to you. Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't repeat what everybody has said, but I definitely agree with Mr. Menninger and with Jill Billings. And I thought we made a pledge a couple of months ago, and I just don't think we should go back on this. And this is way more than sports. It's all kinds of entertainment and all kinds of economic boost to the whole region. It's just a good thing and a positive thing, and it just is the right thing to do.
Jim Mersham.
I also support this, and for a lot of the reasons that a lot of these people have given. And one of the biggest reasons is you have to go forward. And in order to bring tourism, economic development, and everything else into our area, this is not just the city's project. This is the whole county's project. It's the area's project. It's going to affect the Crescent, all the hotels and everything around. So I'm going to encourage this board to pass this. And actually, it's already been passed once. We shouldn't be debating it over and over again whether we're going to pass it this year or not.
Maureen Friedland.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to express a little bit of frustration with the way these numbers come out. Executive Committee in November, it was said that if the WIAA event were to go elsewhere, that the economic loss would be $11,628 in sales tax. That was a pretty precise figure. And now we're at a whereas that says that the economic benefit is approximately $25,000 from maintaining the current events plus the new events. And I do find it a little frustrating that number comes out to be exactly what we're voting for. And I wonder how those numbers get put together.
Mr. O'Malley can respond if you would like. He was the drafter of the resolution.
Okay.
These aren't our numbers. They were provided by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. The numbers you've referred to are $11,628 for the track and field championships. All other events then added on to that are projected are $25,466. It was just easier to draft and put the same number. $466 is the difference according to what was provided by Convention Visitors Bureau.
Mm-hmm. You still have the floor, Maureen.
Okay. Well, as I said, it was a frustration. I would like to see how these numbers get calculated and would like to take things more at just faith in the calculations. But that said, I do think it's important to support this, and I do intend to vote in favor of it. In a conversation with in hearing Mr. Gao or Chancellor Gao speak somewhere recently, he said that with the new growth and access plan, 75 new faculty members will probably be coming into the La Crosse area within a few years, and I hope that most of them live in my district, but even if they don't, that will definitely be an economic benefit to our community. And even though this is separate from the growth and access plan, I do think it's important to continue building UWL as one of our premier institutions in the city. The university has just an amazing sports program, and it's more than just playing volleyball and basketball or football. It's sports medicine, it's sports rehabilitation, it's recreational sports, it's bringing sports into nursing homes. The whole emphasis on sports at UWL is really something special, and it makes the institution really very, very noteworthy. Also, I'm impressed that Chancellor Gao has broken this project, so to speak, into stages, so that he will be encouraging the university, as I understand it, to be doing what's necessary and not more than necessary, and to continue to build, do phases as necessary. So I think it's a very sensible project. I think it's good for our community, and I think it will increase the attractiveness of La Crosse and make La Crosse a more desirable place to live. So I'm going to vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Tom Rauch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just kind of like to expand a little bit on what Supervisor Friedland just said, that we didn't hear really at all in our first iteration on this, and just now for the first time in this one, a reminder that improvements and greater utilization of that whole sports complex out there pertains not only to the state track meet and not only to UWL's football team, but as she said, it ripples significantly through all the other sports education programs that this university is teaching and granting degrees in many ways ripples widely out into our community. And so I'll support this resolution.
Roger Plasha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I was on the City Council, John's father, Don, and I were on the University Affairs Committee, and we signed that stadium over to the university because we saw a bigger picture. We saw that we couldn't afford as a city to put the kind of dollars into that stadium that were needed at the time. They've upgraded it considerably from the time that we actually gave that to them. I think it was a dollar or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. The point is that was the county fairgrounds. And frankly, that area right there is doing much more good for the university than we ever admitted that it would be. We have a lot of other things that have been said here tonight that are important, but the idea was the city really couldn't afford to keep that and do it justice, do the things that it needed to have. So I would like to see this continue. Thank you.
Before I do second round, anybody else that has not had a chance to speak yet wants a chance? Jeff Schrader.
I don't want to speak to it either way, but everything that I've seen here, I didn't see whether there was a chancellor's box in this new stadium, proposed stadium.
Who cares? I don't know that I've seen that in the plans.
Well, I was just wondering if maybe that was one of the things where there are a few more frills in there than needed to be.
A banquet hall? No, that would be a meeting room. All right, Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to just respond to a few supervisors' comments tonight because I want to make sure my position is very clear. First of all, Mr. Spiker stated that the state track meet would be gone if we didn't approve our $25,000. I disagree with that completely. I think there's already a plan to build the stadium. They have a good plan. It's built in phases, and it's going to be built, and it will be a good project, and it will benefit this community. I don't think it's hinging on the county board's appropriation. Secondly, Supervisor Billings mentioned we made a pledge. I absolutely agree with that. We did make a pledge, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't go back on our pledge that we made in November. That was $25,000. It was a 17-13 vote. I voted against it. That's in the budget. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is an Alford therefore resolve that we contribute $25,000 each year in the annual budget for sales from sales tax revenue through 2017. That's what I have an issue with. And again, it's not about is it a good project or bad project. It is a good project. I just think we should be very careful when we start appropriating money. That's as Supervisor Hampson said, it's a non-essential county service. I think we just need to be smart about it. And I don't think that UWL committee would have a problem if we say, you know what, we're going to reevaluate this each year. You know, I think $11,600 is a realistic number. I don't think that I don't have a problem with $11,600. So to go to Mr. Menninger's comment that it was sent a bad message, I the problem I have, and I'm prepared to make a friendly amendment, and maybe I won't get the chance tonight, a friendly amendment to change that now for there be resolved that we make that instead of $25,000, $11,600. I don't think that sends a bad message. I think that that sends. I mean, we have to be careful when we commit these monies, and that's all I'm saying. So I'm not saying the project is not a bad project. I'm just saying we need to be careful when we appropriate money for projects like this, and we need to be realistic about the impact. And academic economists have debunked this myth about how much impact there is on these types of projects. The research is there. Those are facts. Thank you.
Back to first-time speakers. Ms. Brad Paff, did I see your hand up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got a few comments. The first comment I have is I'm very uncomfortable tying the hands of future county boards. Yeah. Now, I understand it says we encourage, but we need to let the voters speak. The voters will speak in April. They will determine the makeup of this county board, and then that new county board, the composition of that new county board, can determine a resolution such as this, encouraging $25,000, can be brought forward at that given time once the new board is composed. A second comment I will make is I really think that we're missing the economic development argument. The economic development argument that comes out of UW La Crosse is immense, without a doubt. But the economic development that comes out of UW La Crosse is the young minds of the young men and women. UW La Crosse is seeking a new academic building. They're seeking help in new resident halls. That's where I quite frankly believe that the focus needs to be at UW La Crosse and its leadership. And quite frankly, I think that's what we can help here in the county. Now, that doesn't mean that we put money into that, but we encourage the State Building Commission, our state legislators, to recognize the economic importance of UW-La Crosse. And the economic importance of UW-La Crosse, again, is those men and women that attend that university. We need to grow that university. We need to get more graduates coming out of that university. And quite frankly, to me, that is the greatest economic development that we could do in this county. Thank you.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After listening to the discussion, I think we're really making a lot more out of this than actually is there. We're not taking away any money. We put $25,000 in the budget in November. It didn't get reconsidered in December, so the way I'm interpreting this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Chairman, sometime this year, Gary's going to issue them a check for $25,000. We've already did that. That's a done deal. The county board approved that. I think we should pass an honest resolution. When we already know we can't tie any future county board's hands, and I brought up the airport example, a perfect one. We used to give $200,000, now we're down to $5,000. In the future, maybe we can do an in-kind contribution, which would be worth a similar amount of money. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I requested when this occurred in November that we'd have a meeting on setting up the criteria for donating money to non-county entities or you know, groups or whatever, and I thought a resolution like this would come after we had that discussion and set up the criteria. I thought I requested it, and you said, yeah, we'll discuss it sometime in the executive committee or something. Do you recall that?
I don't recall what happened yesterday. So
no,
you probably did say that, but
at the November meeting, I requested at our agenda, and I'll put it in the minutes again if you want, that we have a, I think the executive committee would probably be the one, set up some kind of criteria for donating money to non-county organizations, entities, or whatever. And if it makes people better that I move to refer it till we have that discussion, I'm happy with the referral. I'm just not happy passing a resolution that says we're not tying any future county boards or any budgets or anything. We're not binding ourselves to anything, but vote for it to make us feel good. I don't like those kind of resolutions. I want the project to be a success, however, and but I don't think this resolution accomplishes anything.
Leanne Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got to agree with just about everybody who's spoken, and I'm in favor of the project and everything that goes on, but it's still pretty hard for me to sit here and see that which I reported here a while back that in Farmington, which is half of my district and the other half is in Holland, it isn't really going to do them a lot of good in that respect. Mr. Menninger is right. Yes, we do have athletes, and we have some pretty good athletes that come out of Melrose Mindoro. But there's another thing that Mindoro can use, and that would be a library. And now let's not this board be hypocritical here by saying that they want to put things into other things when we actually do pay $38,000 a year out of taxes, out of the town of Farmington, into the La Crosse County library system. And yet, when I come at budget time, in order to put money into a library system to reach Mindoro, we don't seem to get any response. But yet, when it comes time for this board, which is heavy with the people that live out of La Crosse and whatever, and I have nothing against that, I am all in favor of this. But let's not be hypocritical and say that one thing is worth more than the other. That I, you know, from where I come from and from where I'm speaking from, and I hope that most of you agree, that when it comes time for a library system there, I think you've got money for this, you should have money for that. Thank you.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems to me that we're getting a little bent out of shape over saying whether we would commit $25,000 each year until the budget 2017, when obviously next year the county board will be a different group of people, so we can't vote for them. This will have to come up again next year. So, you know, that doesn't seem like a big deal to me. It'll just have to be voted on again. We're saying encouraging. And I think people fail to remember that if we did not have UW-La Crosse in this county, we would be a lot worse off than we are, because a lot of the sales tax, I'm sure, comes from the thousands of students and faculty who are at UW-La Crosse. So, you know, we need to not kick them in the teeth, but support this great institution that benefits immensely this whole county. And I agree with Mr. Paff. I think Mindoro should get a library, but I doubt that many people from the city of La Crosse or Onalaska would go there to check out a book. But I think they deserve one, just like we deserve to support this. Thanks.
Vicki Burke. Don Meyer.
The risk of repeating ourselves over and over, I call for the question on tabling.
Well, first we have to go back to Mr. Geary to make that motion. So
oh,
I have. No, I said I was not going to accept it. I was going to come back to him.
Let's go back to him.
I have one more person on the list, and then I didn't see any hands after that, so John Menninger, and then I will go to Ralph Geary.
I'll pass for now, and
hopefully we'll Okay. Mr. Geary.
As I said, I wanted to table it, but if you think referral is better until we have some kind of criteria set up, I'm happy with that, too. But back to my original, I'll move to table it.
Motion by Mr. Geary, seconded by Mr. Brad Paff to table. All in favor of tabling, vote on the computer. If you wish to table it, vote yes. If you wish to continue discussion or ultimately vote one way or another on it, vote no. So, yes to table, no not to table. The motion to table has failed on a vote of 10 yeses to 20 noes. Do we need any more debate, Mr. Hamas?
I just have a question.
Sounds good. Let's just vote on it. Vote on the computer, yes to vote on the side of the angels, or wait, no, what was that? I just repeat what I hear. Vote yes if you are in favor of the resolution, no if you are opposed. Yes, if you are in favor of the resolution as presented. No, if you are opposed. Mr. Rauch? He works for the zoning department.
Oh, yeah, he works for zoning.
Stay off the zoning, people.
The resolution has passed on a vote of 18 to 10 with one abstention. Now it's 19 to 10. Last minute voters coming in. Okay, 19 to 10 with one abstention. And go back to you, Tara Johnson.
Item 15-1 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Regarding authorization to amend contract with Potter Lawson River Architects for Law Enforcement Center Addition Project. Whereas Resolution 108-4-07 approved the services of Potter Lawson Architects and River Architects with a fixed fee of $126,000 for Phase 1 pre-design, design, pre-construction, and whereas the scope of the project was significantly expanded following the recommendations of the Carey Report in May 2007, and whereas the additional needs outlined in that report dramatically increased the size of the addition from a range of 75,000 to 100,000 square feet with very limited remodeling to a final approval of up to 143,900 square feet of new space plus renovations of up to 12,700 square feet, resulting in increased cost estimate of the project construction costs. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board approves a contract amendment for an additional $135,000.
Be it further resolved that the County Board Chairman is hereby authorized to sign the contract amendment on behalf of La Crosse County. The fiscal note is, per Resolution 108407, funding for Phase 1 was provided for with a $500,000 in jail assessment funds. A portion of this funding has been used to pay for the Carey Report and a major portion of the original Phase 1 architectural costs. The current balance of $245,703 is sufficient to cover the remaining Phase 1 costs and the additional architectural costs. I move its approval and note it was passed unanimously in committee.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by George Hammes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Mr. Ebert, I saw you waving your hand at the last second.
Yeah, I wanted to do an amendment. You're pretty quick, almost as quick as with your salary. So,
I asked for twice on that one, you will recall.
But anyway, if it's too late to offer an amendment yet, that was pretty quick, Mr. Chairman.
No, I don't think it was too quick. If somebody wants to make a motion to reconsider, they can, but we can't sit here all night.
Can I request a vote on the machine then, please?
The vote's already been done. Unanimous.
So. No, I certainly, can I at least get an exception? It was not unanimous.
Nobody said no. That means unanimous, but if somebody wants to make a motion to reconsider, they certainly can do that. I'm not going to stop people from that, but we have to follow procedure. Mr. Schrader moves to reconsider. Is there a second on the motion to reconsider? Mr. Ebert. All right. Any discussion on reconsidering? Mr. Geary.
I think Mr. Ebert, now would be the time for him to bring up why he wanted to reconsider.
This is on reconsideration. First of all, I will give him a chance to simply say what his amendment would be so people can understand, but I don't want debate yet.
Right, but then at least they'll know why he wants to amend it.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I just want to amend that $135,000 would come out of the $29.5 million. I have no problem with the thing. I just think that we should take that from the total amount, since it's after we've decided to go forward with the project. If you remember, our resolution says we'll spend up to $29.5 million. I just think this $135,000 should count against that $29.5 million. It's that simple.
Okay. That is what Mr. Ebert would like to make as an amendment if the motion to reconsider passes. Any further discussion on the motion to reconsider? All in favor of reconsidering, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Okay, let's do that on the computer so that it's clear. Vote yes if you wish to reconsider the motion to approve that resolution. Vote no if you do not wish to reconsider. The motion to reconsider has failed on a vote of 11 yeses. The motion to reconsider has failed on a vote of 11 yeses, 19 noes. Okay. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Judiciary and Law, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 16-1 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Regarding approval of agreement for pre-arrival medical dispatch between La Crosse County and Gunderson Lutheran Administrative Services, Incorporated. Whereas the La Crosse Public Safety Communications Board has recognized the value of providing pre-arrival medical dispatch instruction services to callers who are in need of emergency services, and whereas Gunderson Lutheran Administrative Services, doing business as Gunderson Lutheran Emergency Medical Services Communications Center, is a licensed provider of emergency medical dispatch, and whereas La Crosse County and Gunderson Lutheran desire to enter into an agreement for Gunderson Lutheran to provide pre-arrival medical dispatch instruction services for the La Crosse County Public Safety Communications, formerly known as the La Crosse County Emergency Dispatch Center, and whereas La Crosse County PSC will receive emergency service requests and dispatch the appropriate first responder units pursuant to the request for service in accordance with its dispatch policies and procedures, and whereas after dispatching the appropriate first responder units, La Crosse County PSC will connect the call to Gunderson Lutheran for pre-arrival medical dispatch instructions to be provided to the caller, and whereas Gunderson Lutheran shall be responsible for providing its own resources, equipment, agents, employees, and staff for the services provided under this agreement, and the costs associated with these services shall be at the expense of Gunderson Lutheran, and whereas Gunderson Lutheran's medical communications operators who are providing services under this agreement shall be certified as emergency medical dispatchers and shall maintain such certification at the expense of Gunderson Lutheran, and whereas the term of this agreement shall be for a period of 1 year, and the agreement shall automatically renew for successive 12-month terms unless either party provides at least 60 days written notice to terminate prior to the end of the current term to the other party and the Communications Board. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the agreement for pre-arrival medical dispatch instruction services between La Crosse County and Gunderson Lutheran. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is authorized to sign the agreement for pre-arrival medical dispatch instruction services with Gunderson Lutheran after approval by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the services provided by Gunderson Lutheran under this agreement shall be provided at no cost to La Crosse County. I move its approval and ask to speak to the motion.
Move by Vicki Burke. Is there a second? Second by Chair Johnson. Vicki Burke.
First of all, I would just like to amend to add the word county in the first whereas after La Crosse and before public, La Crosse County Public Safety Communications Board.
It's just moved by Vicki Burke, second by Tara Johnson, to add that corrective amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, the Judiciary and Law Committee had an opportunity to see a presentation on the emergency medical dispatch and was certainly impressed by the fact that this will be an enhancement of the services we currently give. And so I'd like to thank Jay Leffler. He worked very diligently with the parties involved to make sure that we had a good agreement and that this was passed unanimously by Public Safety Communications Board.
Further discussion? Jeff Schrader.
I don't understand, I guess, how everything works here, but how is Francisc and Skimp in any way involved in this? I got a couple questions here.
Any way involved in what regard?
I mean, everything here, you're talking about emergency medical dispatch. Are all the ambulances sent to Gunderson Lutheran?
No.
Well, okay, then I guess... How did they split that up? Do they take turns taking ambulances?
Mr. O'Malley can answer that, I think.
My understanding is that Tri-State is a subsidiary of Gunderson. The agreement with the two medical providers is that if you choose as a client to go to one or the other, you get to choose that. Otherwise, they alternate between the two facilities.
Okay, that was my point. I didn't know if Gunderson was going to get preferential treatment here or
no,
not.
That hasn't been the case, and that again, the client can choose if they so choose. Otherwise, they alternate.
And then also, there's just going to be one person involved right here? Am I correct?
Right now, Gunderson Lutheran is doing the dispatching for their own, for Tri-State. So the one person online will be as needed. It may be more people if there are more pre-arrival instructions going on at any given time, because remember, there's up to six or more ambulances on duty at any given time.
Yeah. So the way this reads, there's just one person, though.
Pardon?
The way this resolution reads, there's just one person. That's what I was wondering, if there's going to be more people to handle those calls than just a one. That's good.
Well, Tri-State will take care of the staffing to the level that it's needed. I mean, that is obviously going to be their commitment as part of this. That answer your question? Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is Jay Loeffler available here?
I don't see him.
Jay's ill today. He wasn't able to make it. He would have been here.
We don't get the minutes from the EMS board. There was an article in the Tribune with Mr. O'Malley's picture, by the way, on June 8th, 07, and the officials from the cities of La Crosse and Onalaska, however, argued it should be run by a public agency. How is that resolved, then, if it came up to a unanimous vote, that they were adamant that it should be done by a public agency? And in the agreement there, it does say one dispatcher in the dispatch center from Tri-State. I was wondering the same thing as Jeff did. I guess I'm asking two questions.
That was in the article. I don't think that's anywhere in these documents that says one person.
I think I will find it that it is, because I read it this afternoon.
Well, it shouldn't be, because we're not relocating Gunderson Lutheran's...
I thought Jeff brought up the question. But to get back to the other, how was the result? What was the study Jeff did? I've never seen a copy of the study. I take it the committee was the
only one.
Jay did
or Jeff did?
Jay, I'm sorry.
Jay. The analysis was that it would cost us more for La Crosse County to provide emergency medical dispatch services than the offer that Gunderson Lutheran was providing. The Public Safety Dispatch Board set up, at their direction, after Gunderson Lutheran made the proposal, set up an advisory committee of providers and dispatch folks, Tri-State, just a whole bunch of folks that work on this, and working through the issues, and the result of that is the recommended contract that is here, that was presented to the Public Safety Dispatch Board and adopted unanimously.
What do you think the motive for Gunderson Lutheran for submitting this proposal to the county? What do you think their reasoning was, or did they say what their reasoning was?
Well, I think, quite frankly, the reasoning is that emergency medical dispatch is the state of the art for our types of services, and they saw a way to be able to continue to expand the quality of service.
So you don't
community.
Think it was anything to do with the ambulance contract that we don't have that expired on 31 December of this year or of last year? You don't think that has anything to do with it? Wasn't there something in the paper?
Well, I'm not going to read motivation into things. The fact is we should have this level of service in our community.
Okay. At the end of a year now, you have to be notified. The emergency board, or whatever the name is, has to notify the county board at the nine-month period, is what I understand, before it expires. And do they make a recommendation that we continue with it then? The county board then makes the final decision. So it's like a year trial period now to start with, right? Then after that, it's done every year then automatically then, unless this evaluation and they say we think it's a bad idea now. Do I understand that correct?
That would be correct. It could be revised or terminated at that point.
What if you wanted to terminate it into the third month of the year? Would you have to wait to that nine-month period, or could you terminate it?
Mr. Shepherd, do you know the answer on that?
The answer is that you can only terminate at the end of a current term, so there have to be 60 days notice prior to the end of the current term. So you can't just flip the switch off at any time. Those would have to be given. Otherwise, the contract automatically renews.
You could turn the switch off in April then, right?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Further discussion or questions? Mr. Geary.
Do the people that are utilizing the service, are they going to pay then higher? Is that how they recoup their costs? Are they going to bill them more for that service? If you utilize the ambulance, will your bill go up? How do they recoup their cost on this?
We have two people here from Tri-State if you want to move to suspend the rules to allow one of them to answer your question, but otherwise I don't know the answer.
Would it be Tri-State or Gunderson? Because somebody's got to bill them someplace along the line. They got to recoup the cost of putting somebody on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody's paying for it, and if it isn't...
Mr. O'Malley's going to try to answer the question.
My understanding is that the dispatch staff that they currently have are having their capabilities and qualifications increased and enhanced. This is not adding staff at their level. It's providing a higher level of competence and service from the people that are already providing that service. So it shouldn't cost additional, except they've had the people with this expertise increase their certification, increase their capabilities in order to provide this. They're already on staff.
Well, usually when they get a higher level of expertise, the salary moves accordingly, doesn't it?
As I said, this is the state of the art in emergency medical services across the nation. Most large metro areas already have this service.
Right. I'm just wondering how they're recouping their cost, if they're more billing or...
They're already on staff.
Tara Johnson.
Does it matter to us whether or not they recoup their costs from a contract perspective? Doesn't matter, right? I mean,
The contract, if you're asking that as a question, the contract says that they assume all costs, so
right.
None of these costs will be passed back to La Crosse County.
Right. Thank you.
Jill Billings.
I guess I don't understand. With this extra certification, what does this pre-arrival medical dispatcher, what is he able to do or she able to do that they wouldn't normally be able to do?
I'll give you a layperson's understanding of what happens. There's a protocol, a set of sequences that dispatcher goes through with the individual person that's on the other end of the line and asks questions and provides instructions to that person on how to react to that client that is waiting for the ambulance to come. So they'll ask a series of questions of what the condition is of the patient, what's happening, what you can actually do. So what happens is that person is actually able to administer some type of care immediately until the ambulance arrives, and that's one of the benefits. And that happens in metro area after metro area across the country, except here we don't have that level of service.
That makes sense to me. And this will be performed whether or not someone's going to Gunderson Lutheran or Franciscan Skip.
Exactly. This is for the period of time that happens after you call in, say, bring me an ambulance, something's happened to my husband or spouse or significant other, and while that ambulance is in transit, that call gets transferred. So you have some medical expertise on the other end of the line, and you can do whatever you can as a layperson, getting direction from somebody that knows how to go through a set of protocols about what's happening, are they stopped breathing? They did this whole demonstration to us and showed us a lot of detail of how that happens in real time. It's very amazing. It's very, very important.
Thank you.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't really see why we're debating an issue that isn't going to cost us anything and might save a person's life when it's just a new service that Gunderson Lutheran is taking on, and the ambulance can go to whichever hospital you choose to go, but your loved one's life may be saved in the time that you're waiting for the ambulance to come to your house, and it's not costing us a cent, so I just don't get the debate.
Jim Ersham.
Yeah, I don't know what the debate is either, but basically what they do is determine the level of service that is needed by the patient that called in. That's the long and short of it. They determine the need, whether if the man is having having pains in his heart or up and down his arm, or if he's got a toothache or whatever he's got, they determine the level of service that is needed and send the appropriate number of people to that household.
Further discussion, questions, comments? Mr. Spiker.
I'm sorry they don't want to hear the debate. I just found the article in there. Under La Crosse County Responsibility and Services, item C, to ensure uninterrupted EMD service, La Crosse County shall make available one telephone radio-equipped dispatch console in the PSAP for the use of Gunderson Lutheran staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the event of a failure or of the call transfer system or technology. So that means then that if their system fails there, they'll have one available in dispatch center then? Do I understand this right?
Right. Only if the system fails. If Gunderson Lutheran isn't able to do this from their site, they could come over to our location, but that would only be in an emergency case. It's not a regular thing. They're going to be dispatching from their location.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion, questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Now that we've taken the vote on that, I want to make a brief comment. As you know, I've been working very closely with the City of La Crosse and with the folks at Tri-State as we're trying to work through it, along with Mr. O'Malley, Jay Leffler, and others, including Vicki Burke, to try to resolve the dispute that has occurred in the past over the ambulance service. And I want to give a lot of credit to the people that were involved in this particular issue, because, in fact, I think that what we saw here is exactly what we've been preaching so often in this board, which is collaboration, working together, putting aside differences, trying to do something better for people, the people that we serve. And, you know, Matt and Jim sitting over there, I want to give a lot of credit to them, you know, for their efforts in this regard. I want to give credit to the City of La Crosse also to come together and set aside their differences, because this is an important service for the people of the community. And as one person already mentioned, you know, this evening, this could save a life. And they set aside their differences because it was important. I really think that is something that they deserve credit for, and I hope that that bodes well for the future. So I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth in on that. And I think that gets us to items for future agenda, and I think Leon Paff had an item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of the Wildlife Damage Abatement and Claims Program Committee, I would like to thank La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, the Health and Human Services Board, along with Doug Moorman, the Health Department Director Jerry Huber, of Human Service, the Human Service Director, for making funds available in support of the deer donation program for 2007. The basis of the program is to provide donated venison from local hunters to local food pantries in La Crosse County. In 2007, approximately 220 deer were donated, which equates out to approximately 9,000 pounds of ground venison to be given to the limited resources families in our area. Again, thanks for your support, and I hope we can continue with support that we work together in next year's project. Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Yes, sir. I wonder if we could have an update on the Park Plaza thing and an update on the ambulance negotiations.
We'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting. Annie, Jeff Schrader.
Can we collaborate across the river over to La Crescent, Houston County?
How do you want to collaborate with them?
They're thinking about building a new jail.
Maybe we
and
can
putting
rent
it
some,
in La Crescent.
We can rent some spaces to them. Any other announcements, questions, comments? Terry Hansen.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Moved by Terry Hansen, second by George Hamas to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.